Jamie Locker with you here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. Hope everybody had a great weekend as we now get ready for the winter blast that is being predicted by Environment Canada. Get your highway hotline apps ready to go for overnight into tomorrow with severe weather.
You love that page.
The winter storm watch for Regina.
It's one of your favorite things to do.
It is, actually. I think I could have been a weather person in another life.
I think I've mentioned this before, but I am...
What's the term called? Meteorologist.
You love that page. You're always on it.
I got to keep Saskatchewan updated and keep them safe here on the road. It's one of the services we provide here.
A couple of times where you and I have driven around this fine province, you had that on your phone the whole time, regardless of the weather.
That's a lie. It's only in the winter. It's not like I'm checking the highway hotline in July just in case there was a Arctic blast that came through out of nowhere. But yeah, little trouble spots down over in the southwest or southeast right now in eastern portions of the province. But keep us up to date as well. You are our eyes out there. What are you seeing when it comes to weather? But yeah, there are some watches when it comes to winter weather heading our way. Each and every day we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories. And it's not looking good for Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Second and nine. Mahomes scanning, deflected in the air. Intercepted, Jalen Petrie. Mahomes downfield for Hollywood Brown. Intercepted underneath Kamari Lassiter. Second and ten. Texans bring four. Mahomes getting it out. Kelce couldn't hang on. And Al Shire has the interception.
Yeah, that wasn't a good performance. Three interceptions by Patrick Mahomes in a 20-10 loss to the Houston Texans. Locker, I forget what the Chiefs' record is. Can you remind me what the Chiefs' record is? What is it? Locker? The Chiefs' record? Can you tell the kids what the Chiefs' record is?
I will come over this board.
They're 6-7. 6-7. Anyways, after the loss last night, the Chiefs, according to ESPN, have dropped
to go away.
14% chance of making the playoffs. The Chiefs is scoreless in the first half for the first time this season. Texans, though, improved their playoff chances from 54% to 81.8%. That defense is the best in the National Football League. And it also helped them that the Colts quarterback, Daniel Jones, has been lost for the season. Looks like an Achilles injury there in their loss to the Jaguars. But the Chiefs, not quite eliminated yet, but getting close, Locker. Yes, it's on the board.
Thank you.
Yes, you said they're going to miss the playoffs
this
year. At
the beginning of the year.
You might get one right.
Also on the board.
If the Steelers win a Super Bowl, I'll get an Aaron Rodgers Steelers jersey.
Look who's at top of the AFC North.
Warren, the running back. Warren, they fake it to him. Rodgers still has it. He's going to take off running for the touchdown. Aaron Rodgers.
The Ravens story's been weird this year.
They've been all over the place.
They've been all over the place. Good one week, bad the next week. Steelers 27, the Ravens 22. If you missed that, Steelers fans, are you back on the bandwagon yet? They actually still have a chance of making the playoffs. Steelers increased from 32.5 to 68.6, according to ESPN, after that win in Baltimore.
Means maybe you guys will shut the hell up for a week.
The look he gave when he did it, he was doing that on purpose, because the look he gave the media was kind of one of those, you know, sly, like, yeah, I just said that just to. He knew that everybody's going to put it on the.
I like that center. He knew it was only going to be a week, though.
Yeah. they lose next week, they'll be back on the hate wagon. Meanwhile, Hockey Canada, the World Junior team, has been announced earlier today.
As Reshny, Kindle, Reshny, one-time drive, score! What a setup! And Cole Reshny's got one power play goal, and Canada cruising.
Yes, Cole Reshny, one of the 27 players headed to the training camp in Niagara Falls. He's the lone Saskatchewan product from Macklin, Saskatchewan. Congratulations to him. The NHL did loan some players. Michael Misa of San Jose, Harrison Brunica of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Zane Parekh of the Calgary Flames joining the World Junior team. Some people were thinking Berkeley Catton of Seattle might be loaned, the Saskatoon, but he's out week to week with an upper body injury, was announced by the Kraken today. So unfortunate timing for an injury for the Saskatoon kid, Berkeley
Catton. That happened to Iginla last year. Remember, everybody was like, where is he? Why isn't he playing? And then all of a sudden it came out that he had an issue. And
Meanwhile, the team starts the tournament, as always, Boxing Day. And a reminder, you can hear every Team Canada game at the World Juniors throughout the Christmas break on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I like that, because if you're driving around, you're missing a game or whatever, and it's going to be prime time this year because it's in Minneapolis. It's in St. Paul, the tournament. So we'll be catching those games around 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. We'll move over to the NHL. Trade rumors flying around. The captain of the Vancouver Canucks, Quinn Hughes.
No, I mean, I'm doing what I can. Like you said, I'm on the ice. It wasn't like if there was a call, me, Jim, and Fitzy hopped on the call. You know, I wasn't a part of that. But obviously I'm aware that, you know, things like that could happen for sure.
There was a lot, and maybe it's nothing, but the fact that he called the general manager of New Jersey by his nickname. Everyone's come on, he knows his nickname.
Listen to this.
If there was a call, me, Jim, and Fitzy hopped on the call. You know, I wasn't a part of that. But obviously I'm aware that, you know, things like that could happen for sure.
Obviously I'm aware things like that can happen for sure. Yeah, he's getting traded.
So Friedman reported that there has been conversations with, just even take the Devils outside of it, people are talking with Vancouver about what they want to do, because it is one of the few teams in the NHL this year that has said, we might be willing to do something because it isn't going the way we want it to go again this year. So I think it's obvious that everybody's going to narrow in or zero in on the Quinn Hughes part of this, you know, debacle in Vancouver on the West Coast. But at the same time, I don't know. Does New Jersey, can they carry that kind of salary? Like,
yep,
they can.
They'd be able to make it work.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of money.
They'll have to make a move to make a move, but they can do it. Absolutely, they can. Have all three Hughes brothers with Jack and Luke already there. Maybe Quinn can cut Jack's steak for him so he doesn't slice his hand. The wine glass. He fell on the wine glass. Maybe he can hold his glass of wine for his brother.
The only reason why I think that this is possible is because of, like, the same thing happened with Berkey in Vancouver with the Canucks. Like, he went out of his way, did backflips during the draft to get the Sedin twins in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it ended up working out. So
why wouldn't you go after Gavin McKenna? Why wouldn't you? Like, the Vancouver Canucks, you only have one move. It is to tank. There's a couple other pretty good prospects. But if you win the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes.
But I'm also talking about the Quinn going to New Jersey. New Jersey, if they can make that work, whether or not it's the right thing to do, people will talk about the fact that these three brothers are on the team. I think you're sacrificing too much. You're not giving yourself enough room for other players by putting another Quinn into the lineup. The Quinn brothers in New Jersey are already chewing up quite a bit of their cap. Mind you, it's going up, so who knows? So, all right.
I think they'll make it work. Of course, Quinn Hughes' contract is up in 2 years. That's why this conversation is happening now. Meanwhile, in F1, there's a new world champion as Max Verstappen's comeback fell 2 points short.
And after 24 rounds, Lando Norris is the Formula One world champion.
That's it, mate. You are world champion. Lando, this is Zach from McLaren. Is this the world champion hotline?
Yeah.
You did it! You did it! Awesome! Woo!
Oh, thank you, guys. Oh, my God. You made a kid's dream true. Thanks so much. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Thanks for everything. I'm not crying.
I'm not crying. He ends the radio call before doing donuts and accepting his first ever World Championship trophy. Norris is the seventh youngest first-time champion at the age of 26. Also, the first time McLaren has done the double championship with the drivers and the constructors since 1998. Haven't had a driver's champion for McLaren since Lewis Hamilton did it with his first of seven in the 2008 season. But yeah, Max Verstappen did win the final race, but Lando Norris finished third and held on with 2 points to win that driver's championship in F1. Can't wait in 3 months' time in early March, likely when Drive to Survive Season 8 hits, so I can see that Christian Horner Red Bull drama play out in the middle of the season. It could be an interesting season for that. But there's the end of the F1 season, ended in Abu Dhabi on Sunday morning. We just keep handing out money, Walker, and none of it is getting into our pocket. But there's someone in Saskatchewan who got an extra $200 to spend for Christmas. We'll tell you who that is with the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Every Friday here on the Green Zone, we announce a contestant in the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. And if there's a quick goal in the NHL on a Saturday, somebody wins the jackpot. That jackpot sat at $200 going into Saturday's action in the National Hockey League. And wouldn't you know it, Calgary Flames won somebody some money.
Utah starts with a puck. Jerogovich trying to get it back into that Utah zone. It'll bounce behind. Vanecek, and they score.
There it was. 16 seconds into the Flames' victory on a Saturday.
Not an offensive thriller.
Well, not. But, hey, one goal in 16 seconds got Brian Riley of Allen, Saskatchewan, $200. Congratulations.
That's our fourth jackpot.
Yeah. And it's like 200, 200. I think the most was 300 and 200.
Last year, we gave away $1,700 in January because we didn't get a winner.
We had to wait 17 weeks.
Yeah.
We've got four already. It's not even New Year's yet. Crazy with the quick starts in the National Hockey League. So congratulations to Brian and Allen, Saskatchewan, for some extra dough in December. That's always nice. A little extra unexpected cash in December.
Yeah, I could take that. I'd take $200. By the way, the crazier thing is, Jamie and I.
Mm-hmm.
You can still sign up.
Yes, you can. You can still sign up at cjme.com and ckom.com. Maybe your name will be pulled this Friday for the $100 jackpot, as the jackpot always goes back and resets at $100 and goes up by $100. But it hasn't been going up to too much this season because of all the quick goals so far.
There's been, I wonder what the percentage is, but there's been an increase in goal scoring this year. It's up again.
Well, when the Oilers are scoring 15 in two games, that can usually increase the scoring.
I would prefer if you didn't mention the Edmonton Oilers or what? Talk about their success one way or the other.
They've scored 15 goals in their last two-game win streak?
Yeah, score another goal.
Happens to the Oilers. They suck in October and November. The calendar flips to December, and away they go to lose to the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. Only this year,
had to go there.
Right? It won't be the Florida Panthers. So far, not looking too great for the old.
Who called that FLA. As well?
Well, you just say everybody's going to miss the playoffs for the teams you hate.
No, hold on. I said the Chiefs and the Panthers.
Yeah, the two teams you hate the most.
Ironically, they are two teams I just like.
This is a reach, Scott. This is a reach. Scott always tries to fit the music with the topic.
Oh, Ravens.
The Ravens. Right when it clicked, I went, oh, groan. Really? Rave on as we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens and their loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a weird dynamic in the AFC. Does anybody know who the best team in the AFC is yet? It's been weird. For 8 years, it's like, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. They'll win. They'll lose. We'll see what happens. This year, they suck. They're 6-7. And then I'm going to do the hand gesture for 6-7 every time we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs just to get the look I get from Locker. It is. Maybe with the cameras, we'll do a montage of all the times I do 6-7 and you look at me like you want to murder me.
Yeah, great idea.
But the Baltimore Ravens are also 6-7 after a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Cordell Woodland joins us, the Fan Radio in Baltimore. He has the Ravens covered. First, let's just start with what is a catch, Cordell, and what is not a catch. What Aaron Rodgers did with the throw, fumble, drop, oh, but his knee was down, lost it, was a catch. But Isaiah Likely in the end zone catches the ball 1-2, almost 3 feet, not a catch. So what's a catch in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it was at some point last season that I had to accept and actually admit out loud that I don't know what a catch is anymore. I don't. I mean, they have changed this so many times. There are so many instances you can go to, from regular season games to playoff games, and it's just the same thing. It's always something different, and it seems like the iteration of the rule is different to each official. But yeah, a lot of crazy events yesterday that ended up flipping the game, unfortunately, in the opposite direction of the Ravens.
With the Packers and Patriots ahead, like, are the fans are they feeling like that was it? Our likelihood of making the playoffs now is pretty small, or is there still hope in Baltimore?
Well, I would say if you're talking about the fans, from the vocal fans, it seemed like for a while that they were starting to feel like this just wasn't going to be their year. And I think it's hard not to look at this Ravens team this year and feel like this just isn't it. Even if they make the playoffs, how far are they really going to go playing the way that they're playing? Their offense is inconsistent at best. And defensively, I mean, one week I think they look good, and the next week, I mean, they're getting ripped up by Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf. So I don't know, but I think for the fans, I do think the fans are starting to lose hope. They have been incredibly frustrated all year with the 1-5 start. They get back on a winning streak, take the division lead, and now 6-7 again, looking up at the Steelers. I do think the fans are kind of at that tipping point and starting to get close to throwing in the towel.
Cordell, I mean, you take a look at this team and it's, I mean, Lamar is hit and miss. King Henry's, he's still dominant. Maybe, you know, showing signs of age here at 31. Where are fans laying the blame? Is it on coaching? Is it on the structure? Like, who put this team together? What is, you're on the ground. What are the fans saying that is wrong, and where are they sort of focusing their blame at?
Well, I think the fans, rightfully so, have kind of had it spread around because it's all been a problem. It's no one thing. The offensive line, I think, is the root of it all. The offensive line is one of the worst offensive lines in the league. They have two of the worst starting guards in the National Football League starting for them, and it shows every single week, and it showed again yesterday. And from there, I think now Lamar's dealing with all these injuries, specifically lower body injuries. So there goes his main superpower of his mobility that he needs and the team needs to help bail them out with this bad offensive line play. But he can't escape the way that we're used to seeing Lamar escape right now. And so I think the offensive line, everything trickles down from that. Defensively, I think they have schematic issues more than anything defensively. But fans have definitely blamed the coaches. Depending on who you talk to, they may or may not want John Harbaugh gone. And that may have been the case for a while now. But, yeah, I think the blame has been spread around, honestly. And Lamar hasn't been above criticism. He hasn't played well this year. Injuries or not, he just hasn't played as well as we're used to seeing from him. But, again, I think it all stems from the offensive line.
Cordell Woodland joining us from The Fan 105.7. In Baltimore, has the Ravens covered, co-host of The Fresh Take. What do you think about Harbaugh? Is that throwing the baby out with the bathwater after 17 years and playoffs after playoffs, or is there fear that the voice in the room is starting to get stale?
I think the word you just used right there is where I'm at. I think it's stale. I think it's gotten stale. John has done great things in Baltimore. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been one of the longest tenured coaches during his time in the NFL, if not the longest tenured coach at this point. John can coach without a doubt, but I think sometimes it's just time. We saw with Andy Reid in Philly, and just because you're let go or you mutually part ways, it doesn't mean that guy can't coach. John Harbaugh could go get another job tomorrow if he's let go by the Ravens today. So that's not an indictment on him in that instance, but I do think the messaging has probably gone stale in that locker room. And at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson is only getting closer to 30. How many bites at the apple does John get with not only Lamar Jackson, but even though the team has their issues this year, they have had great teams, and they haven't gotten it done. I do think you owe it to the guys in the locker room, the organization, and even John to just go the other way sometimes and maybe see what's behind door number two. And look, that's not an easy thing to do. That's uncharted territory for the Ravens. I don't know how it would go, but it just is starting to feel like it's getting to that time, especially if they don't make the playoffs this year.
It's funny you talk about doors, but would the fan base be more willing to show John a door or DaCosta a door?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think there would be many people that are going to say keep John and fire Eric. If anything, you may find some that say both can go. to be honest with you, I'm not there. I want to be clear. I'm not there. But, Eric is not he's got blood on his hands, too, with this. I mean, this team isn't as well constructed as everybody thought it was, and even maybe as well constructed as they thought it was. They have roster construction issues, and I mentioned the offensive line. It starts there, but they also lack depth. They also had some unfortunate injuries throughout the course of this season. But no doubt, you look at the roster construction as they got in the regular season play, and it just wasn't where it needed to be. And that falls on Eric DaCosta. He's got to draft better. He's got to start hitting on some of these premium positions like edge rusher, like receiver. And I think the fact that he hasn't, and he has taken those swings and kind of whiffed, it's costing them in the long run.
All right. The Kansas City Chiefs have been the dominant force in the AFC. Of course, Super Bowl after Super Bowl appearance. They and the Ravens are both at 6-7. No, I'm not doing the hand gesture like my kids do at 6-7, okay? I'm not doing it. It's tempting, but I'm not doing it. If the Chiefs, and it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs, who's the favorite to be in? It's a weird thing. Who's going to be there if it's not the Chiefs? Because this AFC, the Patriots and the Broncos are number one, but with Drake May and Bo Nix never being there before, I don't know who to pick as the favorite out of the AFC, Cordell. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have just one pick, to be honest with you, because this is a weird year. It's all over the place. it's all over the place, and they say it all the time, but every time you think about it, it becomes more and more true. It's a week-to-week league in the NFL. It really is. It really is. Who looked great last week may look like absolute crap this week, and then they can go back to looking like a true contender next week. It's just the way that it's gone. I am starting to buy the Patriots. It's taking me a while to come around on them, but I am starting to buy the Patriots. I think their defense needs to sharpen up a little bit more, but I like what Drake May has done out there. I like that he has spread the ball around. That offensive line is held up, and they're running the ball consistently enough. Buffalo showed me something yesterday, fighting back against a Bengals team that's also not making the playoffs, who has a porous defense. But, hey, Buffalo, I mean, they just have that magic because Josh Allen is there, and he just finds a way at times. But also, that Texans team, that defense is the best defense in football. That offense isn't great, but they run the ball good enough, and the run game is always so important in the playoffs. Combination of defense and a consistent run game, that's a tough thing to beat in the playoffs. The Texans are a true dark horse, and I think they could honestly be maybe the most dangerous team in the AFC.
In our meeting this
morning. You've got the Texans, yeah, don't you?
In the meeting this morning, I said the Texans, they remind me of the Ravens from, like, what, 20, mm-hmm. 25 years ago. It was all about just get that defense, right?
Yep, the defense. I mean, they've got edge rushers. They've got the best secondary in the league. So you combine an elite pass rush with an elite secondary, good things are probably going to happen for you. And, look, C.J. Stroud, I still think C.J. Stroud can be a really good quarterback in this league, and I think now he has taken the approach of kind of putting his pride to the side a little bit and playing the game manager role, not turning the ball over, taking high percentage passes, and not giving the other offense a short field to work with. Be okay with a punt because you have the best defense in the league. So the formula is proven to work at times, but what will happen if they do get behind? That's the key question for the Texans.
Well, Cordell, always appreciate you taking the time for us here in Saskatchewan. Enjoy the final 4 weeks of the season, watching the drama play out in the AFC.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Cordell Woodland. He is on The Fan in radio in Baltimore with the Ravens. We're going to ask you a little later on, who's the best team in the AFC? Who's going to be the team that's in the Super Bowl? It doesn't look like it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Why is nobody bringing up the Broncos?
Do you believe in the Broncos with Bo Nix? Do you believe in the Patriots with Drake May?
They're 11-2.
They're two young QBs who have never been there before. Or maybe it'll be the Patrick Mahomes magic in his first year as a starter with the Chiefs.
I don't know. But don't count Denver out.
No, you can't count it. I don't think you can count out anybody. Out of the seven teams in a playoff spot right now, you could probably make a case for each team to be in the Super Bowl. If I'm doing a power rankings, the Steelers are probably seventh.
I'm cheering for the Steelers.
You just want me to buy an Aaron Rodgers jersey. I'll tell you, if they...
I got money on the Steelers.
No, that's not happening. No way. I'm probably, here's $300 to place a bet, I'm probably going with the Houston Texans because that defense is so damn good right now. Coming up next on this day in sports history, it was a first in the National Hockey League. We'll remember the moment next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
It's up.
Sidney Crosby, the golden goal.
Down goes Frazier.
And after 22 years, Raymond Moore.
Thomas me, I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I remember. You remember?
I gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, it was December the 8th, 1987. It's the first of its kind in the National Hockey League, and it's one of my favorite plays in hockey, a goalie goal.
Bruins come back, flip it from their side of center in on Hextall. He blocks, looks to shoot it to the open net. He has scored! Ron Hextall has become the first player in the history of the National Hockey League, the first goaltender to actually score a goal.
Yes, Ron Hextall rips it down the ice in a 5-2 win over the Boston Bruins on this day in sports. The first time a goaltender had ever shot the puck into the net for a goal.
That seems late. I mean, hockey was around for...
Yeah, but the goalies weren't really puck handlers back then. They were just trying to not make sure the puck didn't hit them in the face without a mask rather than working on their stick handling. Now, no, he wasn't the first ever goalie to be credited with a goal. That was Billy Smith in 1979 when the Colorado Rockies scored on themselves on a delayed penalty. One of those, the goalie gets pulled and you have the extra attacker and you flip it back and you miss and it goes all the way down the ice. Billy Smith was the last to touch it. But Ron Hextall on this day was the first goalie to ever actually shoot the puck into an empty net for a goalie goal in the NHL. That happened on this day in 1987.